In the fall of 2019, I was invited by the United Methodist Women to lead a study in their summer mission retreat in July the following summer. That would be last summer. I was excited to accept. The title of the book was Finding Peace in an Anxious World. I thought, how appropriate. Violence, racial unrest, a contentious election year. It was indeed an anxious world, and we needed peace. In the middle of preparation for this study, the pandemic struck. The study became more urgent. People were dying, losing their jobs. The anxiety level increased exponentially. But the study was postponed. They considered doing it virtually, and then it was canceled. I was mildly upset. I saw the importance of peace, but I didn't need the added anxiety of working virtually. So, in January of this year, when it seemed inevitable that while the pandemic was easing, we were still going to be socially distancing this summer, it was decided that we would do the mission retreat remotely this coming July. My anxiety level went through the roof. I am barely competent on the computer. I don't like having a phone that is smarter than I am. Technologically, I have come into the 21st century kicking and screaming. And now I have committed to leading a study remotely. I needed to find peace quickly. I did. The planning committee had their final Zoom meeting last Saturday, and I think I'm ready to face the beast with the help of a co-host and lead an 8-hour study 1 month from now. A few weeks ago, Rick invited me to lead worship today. I went home, read the lectionary for today, and as so often happens, I was amazed at the appropriateness of the gospel lesson. Jesus is asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat on a stormy sea. His disciples are anxious, to say the least. Panicked would be more truthful. They wake up Jesus expecting him to do something. They were upset that he could sleep while they were all about to die. Jesus calmly gets up, says, "Peace, be still." And lo and behold, the sea becomes calm. But the disciples don't. And I suspect Jesus was probably talking to them as much as to the sea, telling them to be still. They flip from fear of dying to awe and fear of Jesus' power. Who is this that commands the sea? Who is this man who offers peace in an anxious world? Who is this person who can sleep through a storm? This is a miracle story, but what exactly is the miracle? That Jesus could sleep in the back of the boat through a horrible storm? That he could calm the angry seas? That he offered peace to the anxious disciples? Most of us, like the disciples, are in awe of the extraordinary. Jesus calming the sea. Jesus walking on water. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We are in awe of the things that Jesus did that we cannot do. The things that amaze us, we call miracles. But for me in this story, I see the miracle is that Jesus was so in touch with God, so totally trusting in God, so at peace with God, that he could sleep through the storm. In March 1990, I was in seminary. I had the privilege of going on a mission trip to Montserrat, an island in the British West Indies, to help rebuild after Hurricane Hugo devastated much of the island. I highly recommend mission trips for learning humility and trust in God. And it's not a bad thing to do in March, to go to the Caribbean. While I was there, I lived with a woman named Mary, a woman who knew total trust in God. Houses on both sides of her were seriously damaged by the storm. Mary told me that she knew the storm was coming. She did what she could to secure her house. She prayed that Jesus would cover her house in his blood and protect her from the storm. She went to bed and slept through the worst of the hurricane. The only damage to her house was a few bent louvers on a window. Now, I hate blood language. The idea of a house covered in blood, even in Jesus' blood, I find grotesque. And I may not agree with her theology, and at my most skeptical, I would say that it is just the nature of hurricanes and tornadoes to be arbitrary in the damage they cause. But for me, the fact that while others stayed awake worrying and fretting about the storm over which they had no control, Mary slept soundly in peace and trust in the God she loved. That is a miracle. Finding peace in an anxious world is a miracle. This study I'm leading is organized around the first part of the Serenity Prayer, the part that most people know. The whole week is the prayer for the whole prayer is the prayer for the week in your bulletin. But the first part we know. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The four things most needed to find peace, a peace that not only frees us to stop worrying, fretting, panicking, and give us total rest in trust of God, but it also gives us the freedom to make a difference in the world. The four things we need are serenity, acceptance, courage, and wisdom. As I was talking to a colleague about this, she commented that serenity should come last after acceptance, courage, and wisdom. But I think Reinhold Niebuhr, the writer of this prayer, knew that when we are not serene, we are unable to see through the haze of anxiety to the reality of the situation. Serenity is a gift from God. We begin this prayer with a request, a plea to God for this gift of calmness to see clearly. It's like a reflection on a still body of water. You can see the reality both in the top part of the picture and in the reflection of the water. But just the slightest anxiety, the slightest breeze, distorts the reflection. Once God calms our spirits, we can accept that some things are beyond our control. My hostess, Mary, in Montserrat, could accept that the hurricane was coming and that it was beyond her control. And yet, through this acceptance and trust, she was able to sleep through the night. She did what she could. She secured her home, made it safe for herself and for her future. But once she had done what she could, she found peace in the midst of chaos and anxiety. She was given serenity from God. There are many things we don't need to accept, things we cannot accept and should not accept. It is too easy to say, I don't like what's happening, but what can I do? It takes courage to know that you have some control, that you can be a part of the solution to a problem. Too often we equate courage with being a hero. That's not it. Courage is about being about not being afraid to step out. It's about helping to make life better for others. It is about not only accepting change, but making it happen. Our team went to Montserrat, taking only what we could carry on the plane, not knowing what was going to happen when we got there, knowing only that there was a team there planning for the volunteers. When we arrived, we met a couple, I believe from Illinois, but I'm not sure about that. It was a long time ago. They had courage to do what they could. They had contacted lumberyards in their home state and got supplies donated for this effort. Two huge truckloads full of supplies. But how do you get that much lumber, nails, and shingles to an island? They called a nearby airbase and convinced the U.S. Air Force to fly a mission to Montserrat with these supplies. For teams of volunteers that they didn't even know for sure were going to be there. That is courage, doing something to change the world without knowing what the outcome might be. With some of these supplies, we refurbished the home, the two-room home of an elderly woman. When we had finished the job, she came and inspected what we had done. And as we got in our truck to drive away, she stood outside the house, arms raised, saying over and over, "God bless you, God bless you, God bless you," until we were out of hearing distance. The people who supplied the lumber and shingles that we used had no idea that they were providing God's blessing to that woman, to us. There wasn't a dry eye in that truck. We were all so incredibly blessed by the courage that that couple had to do something special for this woman. We also used some of the supplies to rebuild a home, a three-room home for another family. We learned that when people have the courage to work together, they can change the lives of many people. The people they help, the people they work with, and themselves. Courage is a blessing. Now, my hostess, Mary, didn't have the ability to go out and build houses, but she had the courage to take strangers into her home, strangers who came to help her neighbors. Not all of us would do that. Finally, the Serenity Prayer asks for wisdom to know the difference between the things we cannot change and those things that we can change. I don't think there is anything more frustrating than trying to change something that we have no control over. It's sort of like beating your head against a wall. We cannot change the course of a hurricane. We cannot prevent the inevitability of death. We cannot change things that God is in control of. We are not God. Thank God. I love the words Lisa read this morning from the book of Job. Job has lost everything: home, wealth, family, health. His friends say it is punishment for his sins and encourage him to confess his sins to God and seek forgiveness. He refuses, saying he has not done anything wrong. His friends encourage him to curse God, but Job remains steadfast in his innocence and in his faith. But Job is human, and he can't help but ask God, "Why me?" How many times I've asked that myself. But God answers in perfect wisdom and a little bit of sarcasm. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand who marked off its dimensions. Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? And who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. God is saying in this long passage that we only read part of this morning, that there are things we cannot and will not ever know, things we cannot do, we don't have control. Human beings are sometimes helpless. Wisdom is the ability to know our limits, to live within those limits, and know when to push against them with great hope. We could not prevent the effects of Hurricane Hugo, but we could help repair them and even improve conditions for some of the people whose homes were damaged or destroyed by it. Look at the past year. Our lives were altered by COVID-19, a disease that we knew nothing about, had no cure, a disease that sent shivers of fear and death around the world. Initially, we had no control. We could not change the situation. It took calmness, people who could look at the problem with serene eyes. It took acceptance of the situation to say, this is what we have to work with. Let's do it. It took courage from hundreds of thousands of people to stay on jobs that put them at risk, that altered lives. People who wore masks, stayed socially distanced, people who kept our lives as normal as possible. I can't tell you how many times I thank the bagger in the grocery store for being there for me. Experts had the wisdom to work diligently to keep people safe, to work on cures and vaccines, to encourage each other, to use technology to mitigate the isolation. I believe that in the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of the storms and wild seas of life, in the midst of tragedy and disaster, God is present, creating serenity. God has always brought order out of chaos. God is constantly answering our prayers, not always as we wish, but always working through people. People who are serene enough to seek truth, who accept what is, are courageous enough to walk into change, and wise enough to know how to change what they can. In other words, God is working through each and every one of us, believers, skeptics, seekers, and non-believers alike, to accomplish God's purposes. We are partners in God's creating work. Partners with each other and partners with God. We cannot be loners. We cannot exclude people because we don't see eye to eye with them. We must accept God's amazing diversity and work together toward positive, loving change. When we do this, anxiety will have no power over us. We will rest secure in the knowledge that God will give us serenity to see life in reality and truth, so that we can accept what we must, change what we can, and God gives us the wisdom to know the difference as we move forward to change the world around us one step at a time. What peace this will bring to an anxious world, to our hearts, to our lives, and to all of God's great, diverse creation. Amen.